today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson. As we look at our nation today, it's very clear that we're in a moral downfall. I guess that's the word for it. It's scary any way you slice it. The moral infrastructure of our country has been severely weakened by some major decisions by our U.S. Supreme Court over the last 50 years and many other decisions that have been made. On today's edition of the broadcast, we're bringing you a presentation from my dear friend, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress will be talking about the present state of our nation as a result of these explosive decisions by our Supreme Court. This is a program that you do not want to miss because his presentation was done before a live audience that was just deeply touched by what he had to say. Now, before we get into today's show, let me tell you a little bit about Robert Jeffress. He's a pastor of the 13,000-member First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. His television program, Pathway to Victory, is seen on over 1,200 television stations around the world. Of course, he has been a guest on our program here, Family Talk, many times. This presentation you are about to hear was taken from a speech that he gave at our recent annual gathering donor conference in Colorado Springs.
I believe the downward trajectory of this nation is set in concrete now. And I am convinced that America's ultimate collapse is inevitable. You say, Pastor, how could you say such a thing like that? Why do you say it is inevitable that America is going to collapse? I first understood this just a few years ago through something that happened at our own church. It was a great picture of why America's collapse is inevitable. We were involved in our church. We're in downtown Dallas. We've been there 150 years, and we were involved in a program to completely recreate our downtown campus. $135 million project covered six blocks of downtown Dallas, but before we could do it, we had to get rid of everything we already had. So we met with the demolition people, and we talked about how do you blow up, you know, downtown Dallas, a large segment of it. And they said, well, Pastor, what we need to do is have an implosion. And what we're going to do is we're going to attach hundreds of pounds of dynamite to key structures on these six blocks. We'll explode the dynamite. There'll be a pause, and then the law of physics will take over. And once that infrastructure is removed, the buildings will collapse under their own weight. I said, that sounds good to me. Let's go for it. So on a Saturday morning a few years ago, they closed down downtown Dallas for the implosion of the First Baptist Church. And it was an exciting event, I've got to tell you. We were standing there on the ledge looking over our complex that morning. CNN was there. Fox and Friends was carrying it live. I stood there with the mayor and the chairman of our committee, and they gave me the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I pressed the red button just as instructed. The pressing of the red button was followed by the explosion of the dynamite. The dynamite exploded, and that was followed by nothing. But what I had forgotten was they said there was going to be a delay between the explosion and the implosion. And within just a few seconds, those buildings began to sway back and forth. We felt the vibration underneath. And within 30 seconds, those once great buildings collapsed into nothing but a pile of dust. I learned something about implosions that morning. They are sudden. They are dramatic. They begin with a series of seemingly unrelated explosions, followed by a delay, and then a sudden collapse. Ladies and gentlemen, over the last 50 years, there have been three explosive decisions by the Supreme Court that have so weakened the spiritual and moral infrastructure of our country that our collapse is inevitable. You say, what are those explosions? What are you talking about? I wish I had time, and I don't, to explore those this morning. But let me just give them to you very briefly. First of all, the first explosion was 1962, the case of Engle versus Vitale. This is the case in which the Supreme Court outlawed prayer in the public school. That was followed in 1963 by the removal of Bible reading, and on and on and on it went until 1980, Stone versus Graham, that said you can no longer post the Ten Commandments in a Kentucky classroom. And the reasoning of the Supreme Court was unbelievable. You would think I was making it up if I told you what they said. But here's verbatim what they said. If posting the copies of the Ten Commandments are to have their desired objective, it might cause school children to venerate, read, and even obey the commandments. This is not a permissible objective under the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Can you imagine such a thing? We can't post the Ten Commandments because kids might actually read them. And if they read them, heaven forbid, they might actually obey them. Now, what you have to understand is 111 years before that case, in another Supreme Court, the Girard case, it was over whether or not you could read the New Testament and teach it in the school. You know what the Supreme Court said? Why may not the New Testament be read and taught as divine revelation? Where can the purest principles of morality be found other than the New Testament? Now, this is the question I always ask these pinheads from the ACLU that I debate on Fox all the time. I say, now, I want you to explain that to me. 111 years earlier, the Supreme Court said you can read and teach the New Testament, but now you can't even post the Ten Commandments. What changed in 111 years? Did the Constitution change and nobody told us about it? Do today's justices have a better grasp of what the Constitution means than those who lived in the era closer to it? No, of course not. What has happened is we have allowed the secularists, the atheists, the humanists to seize control of our Constitution and pervert it into something our founders never intended. That's exactly what has happened here. Look, our forefathers were clear. They said in the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law establishing, respecting the establishment of a religion. Our forefathers didn't want us to be forced to worship in a state church like our forefathers had been. But the First Amendment has nothing to say about the display of the Ten Commandments or crosses at memorials or nativity scenes in the town square. We have allowed these liberals to pervert the First Amendment into something that our founders never intended. Ladies and gentlemen, the left is just aghast now. It took them a while, but aghast over Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein is not an anomaly. He's not an accident. He's the natural result. I mean, if there is no absolute right or wrong, if everybody's to follow his own morality, who's to say that Harvey Weinstein wasn't simply following the moral code he developed for himself? This is what is happening in our country, and it all started in 1962 with Engle versus Vitale. The second explosion occurred in 1973. And unfortunately, it came out of our own city of Dallas, Roe versus Wade. As you know, that was the Supreme Court decision that allowed for the murder of more than 50 million babies since 1973. And today it continues with 1.3 million children being murdered in the womb. I wish I had time to talk about that more. But you know, if you want to know what God's attitude is about a nation that kills its unborn, all you have to do is to look at Israel. Remember what happened. The Israelites, when they came into the promised land, they started sacrificing their children to the pagan god Moloch. And when God saw what was happening, the killing of children, he said through the prophet Jeremiah, "It has never entered my mind that you would do such a despicable thing. But because you have done this thing, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, and they are going to enter your land. I'm going to raise up the terrorist of your day, if you will, and they will take you captive." Listen, Israel was the only nation in history that could truly be called God's chosen nation. And yet they were not exempt from the commands of Almighty God. If God would do that to his own nation, Israel, and allow them to be taken captive, do you really have to wonder what God is going to do to a nation like America that not only allows but celebrates the murder of its own children? That was the second explosion. The third explosion occurred, we saw it just 2 years ago, June 26, 2015, Obergefell versus Hodges, that legalized same-sex marriage. Now, I know the conventional thinking, well, if gays want to get married, why do you get all upset, Robert? I mean, it's no skin off of your nose. Look, we already know how this story ends. We already know. We can see what happens in other countries that legalized same-sex marriage. Interestingly, not that many gays end up getting married. Did you know that in Scandinavian countries? What those Scandinavian countries saw, the Hoover Institute said, was that the rate of heterosexual marriage dropped precipitously. And the reason is very clear. Whenever you counterfeit something, you cheapen the value of the real thing. If marriage is whatever you want it to be, one man, one woman, two men, two women, well, if it's whatever you want it to be, why bother to get married at all? And that's what's happening in our culture. Year before last, the marriage rate was at the lowest it's been in 92 years. And it continues to go downward. People aren't bothering to get married. And Dr. Dobson, I'm preaching to the choir here. You know what happens sociologically to children who are raised in one-parent homes where there's not a mother or a father present. We know that SAT scores plummet, drug use and depression and suicide rise. You see, God created us where we need both a father and a mother. Now, you're saying, Pastor, this is the most depressing message I've ever heard. Here's what I'm saying to you. No nation that outlaws the mention of God in the public square, that sanctions the killing of children, that sanctions the destruction of the most basic unit of society, the family, no nation is going to survive that. And that's why I say the explosions have already taken place. The implosion is coming. We are just living in that period of time, that parenthesis, that pause before the ultimate collapse. So what are we supposed to do as a result of that? This is depressing. No, it's not depressing at all. Because God has told us exactly what we're to be doing in this interval before the coming collapse. And it's certainly not to sit around and be passive. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. He told us exactly what our assignment is. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Jesus said, instead of rapturing you to heaven when you're saved, I'm leaving you here on earth, first of all, to be salt. Now remember, in Jesus' day, before refrigeration, salt was a preservative. It couldn't prevent the decay of meat, but it could delay the decay of the meat. It would give the meat a longer shelf life. But for salt to be a preservative, it had to get out of the shaker and actually penetrate the meat. Salt in a salt shaker does nothing for the meat. To preserve the meat, it has to come in contact with the meat. And ladies and gentlemen, that's something that Christians are absolutely missing today. Jesus said, I left you in this world not to isolate yourself from the world, certainly not to identify with the world, but to influence the world. You know, today you hear these Christians say, oh, the church oughtn't get involved in politics. I mean, the church is holy, sacred, government is secular. I don't know what Bible you read, but the Bible I read says that God is sovereign over all of the earth. He's not just sovereign over the church. He's sovereign over government. He's sovereign over all creation. He doesn't just care what happens to religious people. He cares about what happens to all people. And for those of you who think, well, you know, government is evil and Christians shouldn't get involved in this, remember, God created three organizations, three institutions. He created the family, he created the government, and he created the church. The church was last. God created government before he created the church. Each has its own lane of responsibility. But government is a God-ordained institution Who in the world would say we as Christians shouldn't try to impact what's happening in the world? I mean, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, how many of you have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer before? What is part of that prayer? We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's just not some future prayer. That's for right now. God, we want your will to be done here on earth. Is it God's will for 1.3 million kids to be butchered in the womb every year? Is that God's will? Is it God's will to pervert the holy institution of marriage that he created? Is it God's will for Christians around the world to be persecuted and have their heads chopped off? Of course not. And we have as our responsibility to do everything we can to stop that. I mean, right now, here's a good reason for Christians to get involved in politics. Right now, the Congress of our United States has passed a bill that would outlaw abortions after 20 weeks. Now, 20 weeks is a very special time for me. Amy and I, our oldest daughter, Julia, is having triplets. She's now 22 weeks. At 20 weeks, we saw what those children look like in the womb. They're not its. They're not biological blobs. They are children in the womb right now. Congress wants to outlaw that abortion against children who are 20 weeks or older. The president is ready to sign that bill. But you know why it's going to die? It's going to die in the Senate because of that do-nothing, worth-nothing leader we have named Mitch McConnell. Because of the arcane principles of the Senate, it's not going to come to a vote. It would never happen. And those of us who are Christians and really care about God's will, we would be getting on the phone right now and we would tell Mitch McConnell to get off his blessed assurances, if you know what I'm talking about, and stand up and do something to represent God's values in this culture. That's why Christians ought to get involved. We can't let the world run the political system. We're to be involved. It is time for God's people to get involved, to change the course of our nation. No, we're not going to save a nation, but we can push back against the evil. We can delay the collapse so that we have longer to share the gospel. You know, I just saw this. I talked to our congregation about it this week. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul is talking about the last days. And he says there is a restrainer of evil in the world today. He's the Holy Spirit. That's the reason the Antichrist has not yet appeared, the man of lawlessness, because the Holy Spirit is here. But Paul says when he is taken out of the way, then evil is going to be flooded in this world for the last 7 years. When is it that the Holy Spirit is taken away out of this world? It's at the rapture, when believers are taken out of this world. And what Paul is saying is you and I, with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we are those restrainers of evil with the Holy Spirit living in us. And that's why the mission of Family Talk is so important. Why I appreciate, Jim, what you and Shirley are doing. You have helped restrain evil in this country. We all need to follow that example. Jesus said, you are to be salt. But listen to me, that's not the only assignment. Jesus said in the next verse, you are the light of the world. Did you know there is no commandment in the Bible for us to save America? That's not our call as the Church of Jesus Christ to save America. We have been called to save Americans from the coming judgment of God by introducing them to faith in Jesus Christ. And the only reason we're trying to push back against the evil is to give our world a little bit longer to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. It's only God that changes a person. And by the way, can I tell you, people have never been more open to the gospel than they are right now. Just one of you here was telling me last night, you shared with a waitress here and you said to her, can I pray for you? And she broke down in tears. Yes, my boyfriend just committed suicide. Please pray for me. That was an entree to share the gospel. Hurricanes, wildfires, mass shootings in Las Vegas. People want to know, is there something better? We've got the message, yes, there is. And it's not something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. If you think it's too dark out there to do it, remember this, the light shines brightest in the darkness. The Apostle Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, he said, in the midst of this perverse and wicked generation, you are to be children of light, holding forth the word of life. Remember who was on the throne when Paul wrote those words. His name was Nero, the most evil emperor in Roman history. He would take Christians while they were alive, dip them in wax, and set them on fire to light his gardens. But Paul said, don't get discouraged. In the midst of this wickedness and perverseness, you have a better opportunity to share the light of Jesus Christ. The light shines brightest in the darkness. I close with this. Amy and I have two daughters. Our youngest daughter, a few years ago, had something big happen in her life. I decided I wanted to help her celebrate it. So I said, Dorothy, I'll take you to the mall and I'll buy you whatever you want. Now, let me tell you what I had in mind when I said, I'll buy you anything you want. What's that store, Forever 21? I thought we'd go to Forever 21 and get one of those $20 or $30 dresses. That's not what she had in mind. She took me to the North Park Mall in Dallas, and we walked right past 21, Forever 21, and she walked me into a jewelry store, a very expensive jewelry store in Dallas. We stood behind the counter and waited, and finally the salesman approached us. He looked at my daughter and said, good to see you again. He said, would you like to look at that ring you were looking at yesterday? I started to get the shakes, and she said, yes. And so he went back. He came back, and he had this little ring box. But before he opened the ring box, he took a piece of black felt and placed it on top of the plexiglass counter. And once he had that black felt laid out, he took that ring and plopped it right down in the center of that black felt. And the contrast was so startling. The brightness of that ring was so vivid, it almost blinded me to the price of the ring. Not quite, but it almost did. But you know, he was a good salesman. He understood the principle, the darker the background, the brighter the light. Ladies and gentlemen, if your goal in life, like so many Christians, is peace, prosperity, the absence of any kind of pain, then these are truly terrifying, depressing days in which we're living. But if your goal, like the Apostle Paul, is to share Jesus Christ with as many people as possible, there has never been a better time to be alive than right now. Because the darker and darker this world becomes, the brighter the hope of the gospel shines. Whatever, remember, this is no time for Christians to be passive. I think of the words of William Watkins in his book, The New Absolutes. He said, it is time for Christians to stand up and reject the new tolerance, and instead become a people marked by intolerance. Not an intolerance that unleashes hate upon people, but an intolerance that is unwilling to allow error to masquerade as truth any longer. An intolerance that is willing to stand up and call good, good, and evil, evil. May God give us the courage to do just that. God bless you, and thank you very much.
Those were powerful words from a dynamic speaker. You've been listening to a presentation from Dr. Robert Jeffress that he gave at our recent annual Gathering Donor Conference in Colorado Springs. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson. If you missed any part of today's program, no need to worry. You can hear it again or download it to listen at a later time. Go to our website, drjamesdobson.org, and click on the broadcast tab at the top of the page. There you will find this broadcast as well as every show that we have ever aired since we started here on Family Talk. I hope you have been encouraged today by this message, and I would love to hear your thoughts about it. In closing, I want to say that I couldn't agree more with Dr. Jeffress when he said that, quote, "There has never been a better time to be alive in ministry than right now," end quote. Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, quote, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Everywhere you look today, there are opportunities to share about the hope of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to reach out to someone this week who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, and tell them about the good news of Jesus. I've always believed that as Christians, if we're not sharing our faith, then we're not doing our job. I'm Dr. James Dobson, reminding you to join us again next time for another scintillating edition of Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.